Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for my review of the Johnny Depp trial case. I've been answering some super chats about it at times, but I've never looked into it in deep and in depth. And tonight I'll do this because I've spent the whole day reliving all of the important moments of this trial. And my conclusion is, I mean, what a mess this couple was. Amber Heard is definitely an abuser. She's definitely a dangerous woman. And poor Johnny Depp has been the victim of terrible abuse. However, it's not the subject of this trial, because this trial isn't about whether she was abusive to him. If he had sued for intentional induction of distress, perhaps he would have a case. But what he has is a defamation case. And for a defamation case, you need to show that the other person has lied. And the big problem is you can show that she's been abusive. I'm definitely convinced getting out of this that Amber Heard suffers from severe either borderline or bipolar personality disorder. She is physically violent. She is emotionally abusive, and she does what a lot of abusive females do, which is they try to impose their presence. Often the guy just wants peace. The guy says, all right, let's go to a separate room and let's talk about this later. But no, she insists at being around him, at yelling at him, at being strident in her screams. Oh my God, poor Johnny Depp has gone through the worst. However, and yes, there is poo in the bed. I mean, this is what can lead this to happen, where she poos in the bed as a message to Johnny Depp? Because she was going to a music festival, we'll be reviewing the details of this poo scene. But basically, she shits on her bed to kind of launch a message to Johnny Depp. I know that you're going to come back to the apartment. I know that you're going to try to take your stuff out because you don't want to be in the relationship anymore. So I'm going to leave just a piece of human feces to our bed. I mean, this girl is sick. But the question of defamation is different. You can be sick, abusive, violent. If you haven't lied, it's going to be very hard for a jury to find her guilty of defamation, to find her liable for defamation. And there's still an out for Johnny Depp. There's still a case that he could make. But the big problem of Johnny Depp is that at times he's been caught on camera losing his temper. So he certainly cannot go on in front of the jury and say that he's blameless. And then the second problem is that the article that Amber Heard wrote in the Washington Post is not stating clearly that she's been abused by Johnny Depp. Now, the the interpretation that the lawyers want the jury to make is that everyone knew she was talking about Johnny Depp. But it's not that clear. You know, she talks about sexual violence. She talks about being the victim of abuse when she was a child. But at no point does she say even something like, I had an husband at some point who abused me. She doesn't say anything clearly like this. And so without the name of Johnny Depp being named, and on top of it, without the particular acts being described, it's going to be very hard to make the case that she lied. Because you can take any temper breaking of Johnny Depp and say that was the abuse. And we do have some audio and video that we'll review today. So the big problem of Johnny Depp is he's tied his own hands by losing his temper at times, not beating Amber Heard proper, you know, directly, but acting violently around the house, breaking stuff in a way that a female can easily say, well, that was the abuse, that was the sexualized violence. At some point, he also self-harms, and he's like, I'm going to cut myself with a knife. And she's like, no, don't do that. Please, Johnny, don't do that. Of course, she knows she's recording, and you can see the sickness in this. Like, she's acting out for the recording. Oh, no, please, Johnny. Oh, no, don't hurt yourself, Johnny. No, don't do it. No, Johnny, no. It's like, you're an actress. This is so dirty in terms of a case. And if it was a divorce case, you could have, you know, a balance. And then her acts of abuse would count. It's like, look at how evil she is. But all that we have here is a defamation case. And in defamation, it's going to be the question to the jury will be, did she lie? Did she tell something that was false? And I'm not sure he can accomplish this. But in a way, he can bring her into the mud with him, which is probably what he intends to do, what the goal of this trial is, to kind of expose the truth and show to the world, look, you can ruin my career, you can cancel culture me all you want, but this is a sick woman that I was with, and I've been reacting to an imperfect situation. So let's look at the timeline and see what has been happening. From 2009, Depp and Heard meet during the film The Rum Diary, a film based on the novel by Hunter Thompson. Depp played a journalist who moves to Puerto Rico and becomes obsessed with Cheneau, played by Heard, who is engaged to a businessman. 2012, Depp and Heard begin dating, according to court documents from Heard. And Depp breaks with his long-term partner, Vanessa Paradis. 2014, Heard is spotted wearing an engagement ring. 2015, Depp seems to confirm the engagement and gets married in a private ceremony. The couple come under fire for sneaking their dogs, Pistol and Boo, into Australia. The pair later released a somber apology video. Heard is eventually charged with 2 counts of illegally importing Pistol and Boo into Australia and 1 count of producing a fake document. Okay, kind of weird. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? It's nice. Tonight, I think we don't have technical issues, so it seems that the stream is working well. I'm happy because it's been a couple of days that the audio was not working for some people. It seems that everything is okay. Firestarter says, can't a man break his own house in peace? Well, technically, if it's just the destruction of the property, that would be correct. But it is more than this. When you destroy property, first, it's common property if you're married. Second, it can be seen as an act of intimidation. And since she didn't say in her Washington Post article, he hit me, she said, I've known abuse in my life. And she talked about her childhood. So given that this is such a general statement, it's going to be hard to make the case that what she was talking about wasn't these scenes where we see him break his furniture and stuff. 2016, in May, Heard files for divorce and is granted a temporary restraining order against him. Heard claims that Depp had thrown a phone at her, leaving her bruised. During the entirety of our relationship, Johnny Depp has been verbally and physically abusive to me, Heard said in a sworn declaration. He has a short fuse, he is often paranoid, and his temper is exceptionally scary for me. She wrote she was living in fear that Johnny will return to our house unannounced to terrorize me physically and emotionally. Our relationship was intensely passionate and at times volatile, but always bound by love. The statement said, adding that Heard would be donating any proceeds from the settlement to charity. And in 2018, Heard writes the op-ed for the Washington Post at the heart of the defamation lawsuit. Now, we can have a general understanding of what went on, where there's a combination of lies here. The lies of 2016, I mean potential lies, something that could be demonstrated to be a lie. So there's the statements of 2016, and then there's the statement of 2018. In 2016, it was in a court. In 2018, it was in the Washington Post. The problem is the jury cannot find Amber Heard guilty of defamation for what she stated in court. When you state something in court, you benefit from judicial immunity, where because it was part of a legal process, you basically have the right to say anything, which is something that should change, because you have people like Amber Heard who will use the opportunity to tell more lies in court, and then when they get to their blog post or their Washington Post article, they'll say less stuff, and so they will play the two parts here, and you can benefit from a greater freedom of saying stuff in the court because you know you won't be sued for defamation. Now, Amber Heard, I spoke up against sexual violence and faced our culture's wrath. That has to change. That is her article from 2018 in the Washington Post. Amber Heard is an actress and ambassador on women's rights, blah, blah, blah. I was exposed to abuse at a very young age. I knew certain things early on without ever having to be told. I knew that men have the power physically, socially, and financially, and that a lot of institutions support that arrangement. I knew this long before I had the words to articulate it, and I bet you learned it young too. Like many women, I had been harassed and sexually assaulted by the time I was of college age, but I kept quiet. I did not expect filing complaints to bring justice, and I didn't see myself as a victim. Then, 2 years ago, I became a public figure representing domestic abuse, and I felt the full force of our culture's wrath for women who speak out. So this would be the only segment where you can make a case that she was openly talking about Johnny Depp. So you have to understand that when she says 2 years ago, that places the timeline to exactly the moment she filed a restraining order. And then there's a reference here, filing complaints to bring justice. So in a way, she's referring her complaint, but she's not stating any of the content inside of it. So can it be defamation if you just refer to the fact that you filed a complaint? That's a first question, because the statements you make in the court are protected by legal immunity. And then you're left with, well, is this an attack on Johnny Depp's reputation? But anyways, today I will make the case that it doesn't matter. Those are all technical legal arguments we could have if it was the case that Johnny Depp has been a perfect person who has never done a single act of abuse. However, the image that we get of Johnny Depp in the trial is that he's been losing his temper. He's been consuming massive amounts of drugs, and therefore she will have plenty of arguments to make the case that she felt that she was the victim of abuse and that it was therefore not defamation. It was a true statement. Let's see some of the highlights that I've retained. Johnny Depp comments on his drug taking.
One of your good friends that you've taken drugs with before is Marilyn Manson, right?
Yes, we've taken, we've drank together, we've had cocaine together maybe a couple of times.
Okay. Pills, right? With Marilyn Manson?
I once gave, Marilyn Manson a pill, so that he would stop talking so much.
I mean, it's funny, but you're telling me that you would drug someone to shut them up? I mean, it's not the kind of thing you want to say in a trial about abuse, because Are you telling me that the voice of people is annoying to you enough that you would basically drug them into, lull them into incapacity to speak just to get peace? It's not a good look for a domestic abuse trial. But here's what's not a good look also. This scene, which we have in video and the jury has seen, Nicholas Petris says, the face when you'll never have a powerful shroom experience with JF, lol. No, you're right. You will never get a powerful shroom experience with me. I did try these things when I was young, but not worth it. Not worth it. So let's look at this video, which in my view, this video disqualifies the whole case. The jury will say, okay, this is factual evidence that Amber Heard was the victim of some amount of abuse.
What happened? What happened?
Nothing happened to you this morning.
Yeah, you're right. I just woke up and you were so sweet and nice. We were not even fighting this morning. All I did was say sorry.
Did something happen to you this morning? I don't think so.
It's not clear what's going on here. Is she trying to extract an admission on video that this morning he did something bad about her? It doesn't matter, because from the jury, all of this detail, what are they exactly talking about? I don't know. But he's knocking the doors in a violent way, in an intimidating way, in a way that could be interpreted as abuse. So that to me would be enough to say in an article, I have known some degree of abuse.
No, that's the thing.
You wanna see crazy,
You want to see crazy, I'll give you crazy. So that's kind of threatening, threatening some kind of emotional abuse. Now look at the Chad drink that he pours himself in terms of red wine. I've never seen that. It's a Chad hipster jar type of glass. That is mounted onto a glass base. This is 500 milliliters. I mean, this is almost a full bottle that fits into this. You will later go on in the trial to refer to this as a... the lawyer will refer to it as a mega pint.
Oh, you're crazy. Are you crazy?
Have you drunk this whole thing this morning?
Oh, you got this going.
Oh, really? Yes. And so Harry grabs for the camera. Never grab for a camera that you do not know if you have the ability to delete the video forever. If you find that your partner is filming, remain calm at all time. Remain calm at all time, even if you don't know that your partner is filming. You have to be assuming at every second of your life that your partner is recording. And if you do find out that they're recording, you don't go insane about it. You continue performing for, for the audience that will eventually look at this, which is the jury.
Really?
And the whole grabbing of the phone can be interpreted as a violation of the personal bubble, and the whole throwing of the phone is also aggressive. So you have enough evidence just in the video we just watched, not for Amber Heard to go around and say something like, Johnny Depp hit me, Johnny Depp raped me, but definitely enough for Amber Heard to say, I have lived some amount of abuse and I had to claim justice in court. The problem is, this is not defamatory, it's factual. And the big problem in this whole trial is that Johnny Depp is demonstrating, ultimately, a very sad inability to understand what is abuse. And they totally caught him on this. I think he hasn't yet realized what will be the final argument of the defense. But at some point, he gets asked, was your father abusive? And he says, no, my father was not an abusive man at all, never hit us. And then 2 minutes later, in the same line of questioning, he tells the story of his mother requiring his father to bring him into the garage with a belt so that he could punish him with a belt. The problem is, you just said your father was not physically abusive, and then you told the jury, oh yeah, he was also physically abusing me with a belt at the request of my mother. What the argument of the defense will be is, Johnny Depp is such an emotional child. He has been the victim of so much abuse that he doesn't understand that he is abusive himself. He doesn't understand that smashing a shelf or smashing a door for the glasses, that this is intimidating. He doesn't understand that violently grabbing the phone of someone from their hand or from the table is intimidating. He doesn't understand that threats of I'm going to show you crazy, that this can be lived as abuse by the person being the victim of it. Now, this is not to exonerate Amber Heard. She's done worse. She is the worst abuser in this relationship. But it's a defamation case. It's not a case of who has the moral high ground. They also have text of him before the relationship talking about Amber Heard. And I mean, this is not good for a jury. Johnny Depp says, let's burn Amber. What? I think it's Johnny Depp, this one. One of the people in the conversation says, let's burn Amber. And another person in the conversation says, having thought it through, I don't think we should burn Amber. Easy on the eye. Plus, I'm not sure she's a witch. We could have some action in these predicaments. We do a drowning test. Thoughts? I have a pool. Someone else responds, let's drown her before we burn her. I will fuck her. Her burned. She is dead. Never. Never leave written traces, even of jokes, about violence toward a woman, about violence toward anyone. Be careful, Johnny. I mean, the thing is, this is coming out in a trial initiated by Johnny Depp. What the fuck? Who's counseling this guy? If I have Johnny Depp coming to me and saying, JF, do I have a shot with this case? And you show me these texts. It's like, no, you don't have a chance, Johnny. It doesn't matter that you were probably joking. Of course he was joking. You know, let's burn Amber. She's easy on the eye, but I'm not sure she's a witch. This is a guy joking. But never make these kinds of jokes. Never. Yeah, people are talking about Fed posting. Firestarter says, this is why we don't Fed post. Exactly. It's going to be held against you. People don't understand the levels of humor, and they can easily jump from one to the other if it fits their pattern. And the jury will look at this and say, okay, you know what? I can get that it was a joke, but I can also get that this kind of humor and this kind of behavior can be interpreted as still violent for someone else who's witness of it. Dark Urza says, JF giving good tips on how to get away with spousal abuse. I'm mostly giving you tips to not get in trouble, okay? Do not announce your desire to burn your future wife. I thought it was basic. I thought we didn't need a course on this in 2022. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, you can join the Patreon or the Subscribestar for monthly donations, or send us a hyper chat tonight, right now, using the dollar button at the bottom of the chat on Odyssey. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right way to support the show the best way possible. Although, if you want an alternative, click on the Entropy link below, and you'll have a link to send questions for free or super chats to support the show. So then there's this psychologist who came in. Also, you know, not a superb look for... she is a psychologist I would like to fuck. Okay, that's one thing. But not a good look for Johnny Depp. Very cute. But the problem is... they are taking an old case in which this psychologist had been claimed to have stated that Amber Heard was showing signs of borderline personality disorder. And the psychologist says, no, those were not my words. Maybe the lawyers claimed this about my document, but my document never stated this. So they're already weaving the web of this whole idea that Amber Heard has borderline personality disorder is all in the head of Johnny Depp, and he's forcing his lawyers to misrepresent the psychologist. He's forcing his lawyers to lie basically about Amber Heard to discredit everything she has to say.
This document. Yes.
Okay.
It says that.
And you have never been asked to testify as to whether anyone has behaviorally or characterologically conducted conduct that suggests they may be an IPV perpetrator, correct? I have to ask that again because I stumbled. Okay. I can't.
Well, anyways, they ask her basically, are you able to determine if someone has committed an act of violence or not? And she says no. And there's all sorts of things. That she says no about, no, I cannot testify to this, no, 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 and no, I haven't testified to this. Do you want lunch? Says a PILF. A PILF, a psychologist I'd like to fuck. I don't want to be with you anymore. This is a repeating observation, and this is where you get to learn what is wrong in this couple. How is the form of abuse being performed by Amber Heard expressing itself? And it expresses itself in the following way. Amber Heard wants conflict. And she's not going to let Johnny Depp go without imposing the conflict on him. And if he tries to go by saying, hey, I'm going to try to deactivate the situation, which is exactly the right thing to do when you're in an argument that's never ending and, you know, it's not going to be productive. All right, let's each go our separate ways and talk about it either in 5 minutes or 5 days. It doesn't matter. Just disconnect from the situation. But female abusers hate this because they get a high from the presence of their husband that they want to pile on. They want to harass with their words, with their strident screams. And again in the trial, we've heard scenes like this.
Like, you build, I build, you know. It isn't like at one moment either of us sign a certificate of saying, or like sign the contract or say, okay, now I'll blow that. No. So acting as though there's a choice between the two is irrelevant.
She's talking about the choice between running away from a conflict or doing what she calls the bloodbath. And when a woman abuser has a special term for these episodes of abuse, of her yelling at her husband, and she calls them bloodbath, it's like this girl is so used to abusing that she has a dictionary. There are like special moments in her life that she calls bloodbaths. Just... It's not looking good for her either, which makes me guess that perhaps that's what Johnny Depp is after. Perhaps he's not after winning the court case. is after making the case publicly that, look, we have a sick person here who enjoys a hobby called bloodbathing, where she abuses physically and verbally her husband.
I'm asking you to stay over having a bloodbath. I'm asking you, I mean, over walking away. I'm not asking you to have a bloodbath over walking away. I'm asking you to work it out over...
See, she's saying... There's no choice between walking away and having a bloodbath. I want you to stay here and take the abuse. Of course, what is she's not saying this explicitly. She's saying, I want to work it out. But what does it mean to work out? It means to hear her strident screaming and her delusions and psychosis.
Longing it and making it bigger.
Right, but if...
at least that's how I see it.
Indeed, you know. But if things get heated...
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going somewhere nasty... And the name calling begins, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I've got to get away, mm-hmm. because I don't want to be ever in a situation again like that. Never.
Me too.
Never. So.
Me too.
That's. Don't freak out if we do have a fight and I walk away.
I'm not going to do that. I'm asking you to stay when you.
She says I'm not going to do that, but she keeps doing it, and we hear multiple audio recordings where. I won't play them in details, but constantly when he tries to disarm the conflict and go away, she treats him like, oh, you're a coward, you're running away, this is not a true man. And so she's not respecting her own promise that she does here.
Feel you're also in the interest of working it out.
I think it's a good idea for us to take a moment or two, take some time. It takes some time to think by ourselves without being, barraged by each other's fucking bullshit, whatever.
And Johnny Depp here makes total sense. This is the perfect way to deactivate a period of abuse, but it never works because the abuser will not let this happen. She will argue back that, oh, you don't want to work out. You don't want to work it out with me. You don't want to resolve the issue by talking about your true feelings and then by listening to my yelling at you.
Let's take a break from it and then come back, try and be calm and walk through the thing. But mm-hmm. I'm not going to stand and fight with you. I will
not.
You can call me a coward.
I don't want that.
You can call me anything you want, all those names, do it, but I will not.
For the sake of this conversation.
No, I'm just saying, I won't do
it. Please, can you stop for the sake of this conversation? Stop what? this woman is truly sick. Stop what? He makes total sense. That is the perfect way to disarm conflict. And she, please stop for the purpose of this conversation. Like, I'm trying to get a clean recording here. Can you... Unbelievable. So that sums up the problem of the relationship here. But still, it's a problem because even if he was the wisest in this relationship, even if he was against abuse, this is not a case about who's abusing you. It's a case about defamation. Mama JF says, why are they not moving their lips when they talk? Because what we were seeing is their court reaction to the listening of the audio recording. It wasn't a case of telepathic dialogue. It was merely them listening to an audio recording. But here's the problem. The defense got the hooks that they were looking for. Look at this.
Was your father ever abusive to you or any of your siblings?
No, my father was not an abusive man.
My father was not, never an abusive man. And then look at this. That's like 1 minute later after he says this.
I'll never forget this white... thick leather 1970s era thick leather white belt that he would take off and And then he would commence to inflict the punishment on me. But interestingly,
and so if I'm the defense lawyer, I the case is done here. I have the acts of abuse on video. I have the fact that the relationship wasn't going well. My client is not perfect, but this is not a case about my client being perfect. It's a case about defamation. And the question of the defamation is it true or false that Johnny Depp abused Amber Heard? And I, on top of all this, I have Johnny Depp not being able to recognize the very abuse that he was the victim of. Not able to say, hey, you know what? Beating someone with a belt is physical abuse. So the jury says, all right, I am with a broken guy here, Johnny Depp, who consumes drug with Marilyn Manson, who doesn't even know that he was the victim of abuse as a child, so he doesn't know what abuse is. And I have video of him being abusive. Case done. This is over. This is why I'm saying Johnny is charming. And it was great to hear about the details of his life. And yes, you know, this guy has been abused by women all his life, starting with his mother much more than by his father. But when it boils down to defamation, he will lose. Because he's given all the ingredients to the defense to say, Johnny Depp has abused Amber Heard. He just doesn't know it. That's why he started this case. That's why he thinks that he's been defamed. But what he doesn't understand is that what he's doing was abuse. Thomas Howard says, JF's lack of faith in the justice system's ability to discern the truth is alarming. Short of the judgment of Solomon on the white throne at the end of days, what could be better? I don't know, bro. I do have a lack of faith in the justice system. But that's because I'm not like Johnny Depp. And I've been the victim of truly, poorly invented allegations. And I've seen how the system just believes them. With Johnny Depp, this is another domain. Because the guy actually has behaved in an abusive fashion. Silver Spider says, Jeff, a lot of people think beating children with a belt for punishment is not abuse. Well, there's the problem. You are in 2022 here, and you have a 2022 progressive jury that will be reviewing this case. So I understand what you mean, but this won't pass. Then we had the sister of Johnny Depp, not a particularly informative testimony, but she says that Amber Heard was verbally abusive toward Johnny Depp.
There. I've seen the insults multiple times, actually.
What, if anything, did you hear Ms. Heard say about Mr. Depp's physical appearance?
She called him an old fat man.
How did he respond?
I believe he's heard her call him that himself.
So, okay, she called him a fat man. She is insulting, she is abusive, but that's not a case about whether Amber Heard is abusive. Again, excellent audio recording here where we have her admit that she's physically violent, but that won't be enough because it's not because you're physically violent that you have committed defamation.
If you lost memory last night of kicking me out the door with the fucker hitting me,
And your memory.
She says, again, I'm sorry. Boom. You got a case here for intentional infliction of emotional distress. You have a case for physical abuse. But you don't have a case for defamation.
It's gone from you kicking the bathroom door and hitting me in the skull as
again,
I was bent down.
I am sorry.
If you have...
She admits the bathroom door hit. I'm sorry.
Those memory fucking, you know, divots.
I was upset. There was a lot going on, okay, and I was on an Ambien.
Oh, my God. There was a lot going on. And by the way, she's also on drugs throughout. She was on an Ambien. I think this is what she said. So they're both on drugs all the time. They serve themselves mega pints. I mean, it's not looking good as a couple.
Like, why are you obsessing over the fact that I can't remember it the way you remembered it? I said...
she She can't remember it the way he remembers it. My truth, your truth. Okay, you say I hit you with a bathroom door onto your skull. Personally, I was experiencing it as just me going to pee. Sorry. We have a different recollection.
I was sorry. Okay, I didn't deny it.
I'm not talking about that. What I want. It's just to get out of a bad situation while it's happening.
See, again, we have Johnny Depp going for the, hey, let me disconnect, let me walk away from a conflict, and she doesn't want that. She's always like, no, we need to resolve!
Before it gets worse. In Australia, when we had the big fight where I lost the tip of my finger.
And this is something that was pointed to him as an admission that she didn't cut his finger, because he says, we had the big fight where I lost the tip of my finger. And then later in another recording, he will be saying something like, when I chopped my finger off. Now, okay, I think that the jury can jungle with this, whether she caused the severing of the finger. In the way that Johnny Depp tells it, it was a bottle of vodka that was maybe cut or maybe partly broken, thrown toward him, and it severed a part of his finger. Doesn't matter, because we're still out of the defamation case here, where we're into whether Amber Heard is physically violent.
At least 5 bathrooms and 2 bedrooms I went to. To
avoid talking to me. To avoid escape working me out. That's
to escape the fight.
To avoid talking to me. The guy had his finger severed. Whether he severed his finger or whether the conflict resulted in a bottle of vodka flying in his way from the hand of Amber Heard, doesn't matter. The guy flees to 5 different bathrooms, and Amber Heard is like, yeah, you are trying to escape me. You are trying to cower away from the conflict, from the resolution. She's sick. She absolutely wants the male to stay there and endure the abuse.
You don't escape the fight. You escape the solution. No. You escape the solution.
You escape the solution. And the solution is for you to get yelled at, get thrown bottles of vodka until you submit to my will. This is regular female behavior, by the way. It's not particularly out of the norm here. So if, you know, I know that there's lots of single guys, some people wanting to start relationships, and just know that this is what you will expose yourself to. This is they want you to stay there and take the abuse.
Solution, no. Escape figuring it out. We cannot work it out if you run away to the bathroom every time.
Listen to me.
Because a woman has zero power when the male runs away, by the way. And so that's why it's the perfect disarmament tactic. Because a woman is still stuck there. She's still dependent on the provider. She still wants the presence of the male around her. The male, I mean, any time that he spends away from his wife could potentially be inseminating other women, especially a guy like Johnny Depp. I mean, a guy like Johnny Depp probably doesn't have to spend much time to find the next available uterus. So that's why it's so frustrating for female abusers when their males just go away. It's because they lose control. Their control is with the physical presence. They cannot assess what he's doing when he's gone, when he's closed in another room, or when he's away.
Listen to me.
A boxer can't go 12 rounds without a fucking minute break.
I'm not giving you a minute break. You do it at minute 3 at the beginning of an argument.
No.
He's making a metaphor of their relationship with the boxing match, and he's like, even the pro boxers cannot go on for 12 rounds. You got to give me a break. And she's like, no, you don't need a break. I want more of this. I want more of this boxing match.
There are rounds, man, and when it gets too fucking hairy, the ref splits them apart or whatever, but all I'm saying is, You can't have a solution if the argument just keeps mounting and mounting and mounting.
So again, he seems pretty reasonable, but we're still not on the hook for the defamation. We're just making a trial of the personality of Amber Heard, which if it's what Johnny Depp wanted, he's totally accomplished that. Oh, people are triggered in the chat. It's not normal behavior, for fuck's sake. Not every female is a manipulative whore. Okay, hashtag not all. Not all. What I was saying is this is typical female abusive behavior. It's within the space of the expected. I'm not saying that all females are that way.
Can you play that one more time, please, Michelle? Entirety of.
All right, any objection to 582?
No objection, Your Honor.
All right, 582 in evidence.
Put your fucking cigarettes out on someone else. You fucking have consequences for your actions. That's it.
Shut up, fat ass.
Yeah, you got me there.
Shut up, fat ass. And Johnny Depp will be commenting on this, that he didn't put his cigarette on her.
Can you play that one more time, please, Michelle?
Objection, Your Honor. I'll sustain the objection. Move on.
Mr. Depp, when Ms. Heard tells you in that recording to go put your cigarettes out on someone else, you don't deny that, but instead you simply say, shut up, fat ass. Is that correct?
I think that was another grossly exaggerated moment of Ms. Heard's. I did not put a cigarette out on her or throw a cigarette at her.
Let's pull up exhibit 581, please. This is another recording that we'll play.
And so, I don't think the jury will believe necessarily that the cigarette was put out on her. So I don't think that this is quality evidence enough. But the problem is, even with just the scene where he bangs the door of the shelves, just this is enough. And you can take the fat ass and say, okay, maybe in another context, this could be interpreted as verbally abusive. But in this case, perhaps he saw that she was lying. He saw, you know, when a female comes to you and tries to get you to admit something, it's probably that she just turned on the recording and she wants you to say, oh yeah, sorry about putting my cigarette on you. So probably he detected this. And so the fat ass here would be justified. It wouldn't be so much verbal abuse as it would be a kind of self-defense against what is evidently a tactic to get an admission, to get someone in trouble. So I think that this one will not be retained by the jury as particularly relevant. Then we had these guys testify that there was a policeman, and then there were other guys who were testifying that they were around the Johnny Depp house or business at whatever moments were relevant, and that they had not seen evidence of physical abuse onto Amber Heard. But then that's the problem. She never claimed he hit me in the newspaper. She claimed, I have experienced some degree of abuse in my life. And she didn't even specify which was the kind of abuse that Johnny Depp committed. And so again, I'm afraid we have enough in the video and audio evidence with the self-harm. Self-harm, by the way, is a way for abusers to trigger emotions in their victims. So we're faced with the problem that her comments in the Washington Post are sufficient, apparently sufficient to be backed. And of course, the most spectacular moment of this trial is the description of human fecal matter onto the bed by Johnny Depp, which has earned the title to Amber Heard of Amber Turd, because she has defecated in a vengeful manner onto the family bed.
And grotesque. And cruel. And then I was shown a picture of what the problem was. I had gone to Mr. Bett and said, she's at Coachella. I think it's a good time to go downtown so that I can get some of my things, you know, and get them out of there, especially the things that were precious to me, you know, children things, things from friends, Brando, Hunter, Thompson, whatever, things that were important to me. And he said, I don't think now's a good time to go. And I thought, it's the perfect time. She's not going to be home for 2 days. And then he showed me a photograph on his telephone of...
Objection, Your Honor. False hearsay.
It's a photograph, Your Honor.
As being relayed to him by Mr. Bett.
He says he looked at it on his phone.
I'll overrule the objection as the photograph.
What was the photograph of Mr. Depp?
It was a photograph of the bed, our bed, and on my side of the bed was human fecal matter. So I understood why it wasn't a good time to go down there. My initial response to that was, I mean, I laughed. It was so outside. It was so bizarre and so grotesque that I could only laugh. So I did not go down there that day.
Mr. Depp, how was your mother's health during this time?
So an act of vandalism on the family bed, because she knew she was going to Coachella for a couple of days, she decides to ruin the family bed with human fecal matter. And there are memes emerging of people, you know, these court you know, these people who do drawings in court and... And they made a meme where they're drawing Amber Heard shitting on the family bed. I thought it was hilarious. In any case, so that's it for our review of those trial days. It's not over, so we don't know if we'll be surprised. But to me, it seems that we don't have enough, especially in light of the original text by Amber Heard. I think we don't have enough of a factual statement for it to eventually be found to be false. Amber Heard could very well come and make a testimony and say, you know, when I talk of abuse and when I talk of sexual violence in the title, I'm talking about my childhood. I'm not talking about Johnny Depp. And when I talk about Johnny Depp, it's only in that part of the article. And I don't say sexual violence. I say abuse, and I say court filings. And then she can just say, I consider that his self-harm behavior is cutting himself with a knife in front of me, is just smashing the doors and grabbing the phones from me. I consider that this was emotional abuse of some level, even if he didn't hit me. And she can also say that he also hit me, but I just don't have it on video. So that's plenty for Amber Heard to, I believe, succeed in this case. It's too bad because I would like I would like these cases of females going to court to be punished eventually for their lies. But in this particular case, I'm not convinced that there was massive lying there. If there was lying, it was in the detail. And unfortunately, Johnny Depp has left too much traces of acts of abuse that enough can be gathered by the jury to say, all right, everything she says is true. People have been sending me this. Health Canada authorizes Canadian Blood Services submission to eliminate donor deferral period for men who have sex with men. So there used to be a delay period. For homosexuals, when they were donating blood, they removed the delay period now, and there will be a new screening approach where everyone will be tested for HIV or that kind of stuff. It's a case of it's bizarre, the attitude of the Canadian health authorities with respect to homosexuals and HIV is basically they ask you a lot of questionnaires. At some point in my life, I wanted to get tested for HIV. I just wanted to know that I was clean, you know. And you go to these nurses and they say, have you had gay sex before? And I'm like, no. Have you had risky sex in the last year with unknown partners? And I'm like, no. And the nurse is like, okay, well, you don't have HIV. And I'm like, can't I get a test or something? And they're like, no, you don't respect the risk factors. You're very unlikely to have HIV. And it's always been, first, it's discriminatory, it's true. But it's always been also very disappointing that you cannot even have the test just to have your heart clean, you know, just to, in case something happened. It's too bad. And I think that their attitude should change. They shouldn't treat it like, oh, we're going to evaluate your risk factors and then we're going to take a decision about whether we give you the test. I think it's a good thing that everyone will be tested. I know that the person who sent me this was sending it to me in the sense that, oh, look, JF, they're attacking heterosexuals for something that's a problem that is much more common in the homosexuals. Yes, that's also true, but I think it's good to test. I think we shouldn't be approaching things with risk factors. We should just test everything when we want it. Mama JF says, maybe your mom had the HIV, so how can you know? Yeah, exactly. That's what I would think. But I mean, the chances that my mom would have HIV, I mean, she was totally a devoted wife to my father. And so there's basically zero chance unless my father also would have had HIV or something like this. So, but that's the problem. You want to know. You want to know for sure. And they don't let you do it in the Canadian system because they're all about, is the treatment justified? It's like, charge me for the test, I don't care. But they don't want to charge you. They want to apply their metrics and rules of public health. Who's afraid of Elon Musk? Not long ago, Elon Musk was regarded as a liberal superhero with a cape because of his support for green energy and electric cars. But now that he's the new owner of Twitter with his estimated $40 billion to $50 billion acquisition, the left is as angry as hornets. But why exactly? The answer is the slice of America that has been captured by a radical agenda that refuses to tolerate anyone with contrary ideas or opinions. Absolutely, that is correct. Justed says, JF, if I ever need an impending surgery, where I can expect loss of blood and require a blood transfusion, would it be wise to donate my own blood to be stored in advance of surgery for the later transfusion so as to avoid vaxxed blood? I don't know if they do this. I don't know how much time the blood can be kept in safety, and I don't know if they offer that service. I have zero idea. Check it out, and maybe there's private companies offering this, but makes sense to me. The question is, can they keep blood long enough? Because I guess they would precisely tell you not to do this like a week before the surgery, because they wouldn't want you to lose blood volume. So you'd have to do it long enough in the past that that you can hope to be accepted at the surgery as not having a low volume of blood. And then the question would be, has the blood survived? I don't know what their techniques with this. I'm I'm really not a blood transfusion. I'm not knowledgeable in this domain at all. When I was doing monkey surgery, we were doing zero transfusion. We were just keeping the monkeys alive, and we were having surgeries that were not super, that there were not massive blood losses. So there was never a case where where we had to do blood transfusion. It all depends on the type of surgery you're doing. Amazon stock plunges as company reports nearly $4 billion loss. Wow. Amazon had reported $8.1 billion profit in the same period last year, and now they are at a net loss of $4 billion. This is massive. It was also a big miss from the $4.4 billion profit that analysts surveyed by Refinitiv had forecast. The company attributed the loss largely to a $7.6 billion loss from its investment in electric automaker Rivian Automotive. Rivian, into which Amazon led a $700 million investment in 2019, has seen its stock plummet more than 75% since its blockbuster November 2021 IPO. Amazon shares sank around 10% in after-hours trading following the result. Wow, that is big. And anyways, like, who was shorting Amazon? Grapes Coda says, did you just call me short? Yes, who would short Amazon? I mean, no one would have expected this. But this company has grown so much and has conquered so much of the market. In the end, I don't expect them to be in trouble. I expect them to recover from this. But perhaps they've been a little out there in terms of, oh yeah, let's invest in all this innovative technology and let's become a server company and let's become an electric car vehicle. I think they just have to stick to their base activity, which is sell anything to anyone. The First Amendment option, an easy way for Musk to restore free speech on Twitter. Pro-censorship advocates like former President Barack Obama may have given Musk a roadmap for restoring free speech on Twitter. I mean, I don't know if Musk will want to do this, but choosing the First Amendment as your standard, that is going the gab way. I don't think Elon Musk has the balls to do this, because please realize there are a lot of things allowed under the First Amendment. Now, I would want it to be that way. That would be a beautiful thing. But first, Musk would be kicked by this standard. He would be kicked from the Amazon servers. He would be kicked from the app stores, potentially. Or perhaps he would just change the attitude of the app stores. Perhaps the app stores could say, all right, we're not anymore going to kick out apps that where the violations of the rules come from a user-generated content. It would be as easy as this for the app stores to let Twitter be. Now, if Musk goes First Amendment, that means because in America, hate speech is not a violation of the First Amendment unless it's combined with a planification for an actual crime. Hate speech itself is protected by the First Amendment. So I don't know if Musk will go there. That's kind of extreme. I would expect Musk will just try to be in between where Twitter is right now and where Gab is right now. I think Musk will aim for the middle, which is not as much as I would want, but it's acceptable as a progress with respect to the current situation. Grapes Coda says, Elon Musk absolutely does not have the balls to do this. He buckled under a single passive-aggressive tweet from Greenblatt. Yeah, that is true. Elon Musk has self-censored in the past at the request of this Greenblatt guy. The ADL guy, is that correct? After backlash, Google turns off the Newspeak correction tool. Google claims that it has disabled a feature within its document editor that was correcting language to make it more inclusive. but only while it refines the tool to make it work more effectively. So that was the little tool that was saying, hey, your words are not gender neutral. Would you like to review this word? So now it's offline, thankfully. Thomas Howard says, JF does not allow hate speech on his platform, but I'm curious to hear a good comprehensive definition of hate speech. Oh, I mean, definitely there's no one who has a clear definition of hate speech, and systematically people have been applying the punishment to hate speech in TOS in an asymmetric way. So basically one example of asymmetry is the N-word. It can be said on a podcast hosted by black guys, but it can't be said on a Papa JF podcast. That's one example of asymmetry. Also, other cases of asymmetry are how Facebook temporarily allowing the praise of neo-Nazis because Ukraine, or saying, oh, you know what, as part of LGBT celebrations, we will not consider hate speech against white men, white heterosexual men, as hate speech. So there's always asymmetry and double standard in the way it's been applied. But I think if you were to put this aside, the bad history of the term, I think we could have a term hate speech that could be well defined. It could be simply defined as sentences that are hateful against groups or individuals. But then there would be a lot of things that would fall under that definition that don't fall under the current practice of it, because people can hate on me as much as they want on Twitter and will never get banned. It won't ever count as bullying or hate speech. And if they were to say the words that they say about me, but they were to say it about a group, then it would fall under hate speech. So there are some inconsistencies in the way these standards have been applied. Meanwhile, I have also reviewed today. Today I was in a legal mood. So I've reviewed the Alec Baldwin interview with the police about the Rust shooting incident. And we get just a better picture of everything that happens. What I conclude is, well, what he's trying to insist on is at this moment of the interview, the girl hadn't died yet, or Alec Baldwin didn't know that she had died. He knew that she was in a critical condition, and at the very end of the interview, the police tells them she died. And so he's shocked and he's in tears. So basically, Alec Baldwin was rehearsing, and it was a rehearsing, and he didn't expect even a bullet, even a prop bullet, or a flash bullet, or a fake bullet to be in the gun. It was supposed to be a gun that had zero bullets in it, and it was just for rehearsing his scene where he pulls the gun out and he cocks the cock thing or whatever, the lever, the hammer. And what happened is that, well, there was a bullet that shouldn't have been there. It seems like it was a live bullet by the description of the photos he looks at. And it shouldn't have been there. And also, there has been a misfire, basically. The hammer just disconnected. Instead of going full cocked, it released. And so you have a stack of two different accidents. The hammer not clicking in. Also, the random fact that because it was rehearsal, no one was worried that the gun would shoot, and therefore people were standing in front of the gun, the director of photography. And also, Alec Baldwin didn't expect that there would be anything, not even a fake round in the gun. But there still remains a question. Are you responsible when you're an actor, you get a gun? Are you responsible to do some basic check of the chamber and the revolver? Are you responsible for visually assessing the presence of a bullet, and especially in a gun that you expect has no bullets? It's my personal feeling about the safety of firearm that, yes, you do have to do this. I personally would not trust an armorer, let alone a young female armorer with low experience, to blindly believe her that the gun is empty. Personally, I would do the checks. But then the other argument that can come on the other side is, if I do the check, I may introduce a dust particle in the cannon, and therefore I may be liable for a careless act that would take the gun that was given to me as safe, but that could make the situation unsafe. But still, I mean, if you expect zero bullet in the gun, the cost of opening the revolver and looking into the chamber and looking into the rounds, if they're there, I think that should have been done. So I think that there is still one point of criminal responsibility for Alec Baldwin, although he may or may not win a case. If a case was started, he may get away with a defense that says it was the standard practice. That's how I've been taught to handle firearms on the set, and I've always been trusting my armorers. But personally, I think that the practice should be changed, and that anyone holding a gun should always be knowledgeable to verify it, check it, and ensure its safety. What we get to understand is that Alec Baldwin has an understanding of the different type of bullets, and there's the flash bullet, which has no projectile, but it has the powder in it, and in that category of bullet, you have the quarter load and the full load. The full load, the problem is it makes a lot of noise, but sometimes you have to have it for the scene where you want the big flash. The quarter load shoots some amount of flash and makes less noise, so it's more practical in certain filming situations. Then you have what he calls the cosmetic bullet. The cosmetic bullet is meant to be a bullet that has the explosive in it, explosive powder, but it also has a clay top at the place where you would expect the projectile. The difference is that the clay top is expected to explode when you shoot, instead of being projected into someone's body. So the cosmetic function is that sometimes the cameraman wants to have an inside look into the gun, and he wants to see the bullet in it. So that's why they make these clay cosmetic things. And then there's the real bullet, and then there's the cold bullet that he calls, which is a bullet with a hole in it that allows you to verify there's no explosive in it. So the cold bullet is merely to have the feeling of having the bullet in the gun, but it won't explode, it won't do anything when you shoot it. And apparently, out of these bullets, Alec Baldwin expected that there would be no bullet at all during the rehearsal. So he didn't even expect to have a flash bullet, nor a cosmetic. He thought that the gun was empty, and the gun was not empty. So you have a combination of three random factors. Somehow the gun ended up being filled with a live bullet. Somehow the director of photography was standing because it was a rehearsal. And somehow the hammer has accidentally released. yeah, it's a complex situation, but it looks like if you attribute the responsibility to Alec Baldwin to make a check, he didn't do that check based on this interview. Crazy Catman says, how many times did he shoot her again? Oh, it was a single firing, and the single firing was actually just the hammer releasing accidentally. Or maybe Alec Baldwin didn't pull it back strong enough and it released. But it bumped on a bullet. The bullet went through her, eventually put her in a critical situation, and eventually she dies in the hospital. And the bullet also went into the shoulder of the man that was standing behind her. So it's definitely not one of these accidents, because if you have a little dust particle, maybe it could burn or hurt someone. But as Alec Baldwin makes the case in that interview with the police, It cannot have passed through a human body, killed someone, and then get into another human body. That would be extremely surprising for a non-live bullet. So it was a live bullet. And that's what we have. There are still no charges, I believe. But there is a mystery around what led to this live bullet being there. Was it a careless handling of both live ammo and prop ammo by the armorer? Or was it a malintended attack on the onto the set? We don't know. So that's but we had an emotional look into Alec Baldwin as the events had just happened, and his memory was pretty fresh, and it's great to have these details. All right, guys, so that is it for tonight. Do I have anything on my schedule this week? Let's see what's coming for me. I think I have some personal life rendezvous and different meetings. But other than this, nothing on schedule. I do have to do some gardening, some plumbing. So we'll be continuing our individual shows for a while still. And at times during the day, I will be working on the house and following the news and determining what's interesting. I also have to finish my read of the Frank Salter book on genetic interest. I'm so sorry to the people. I promised I would do this review. I've been taking months and I'm still not done reading through the book, but once it's done, I'll be happy to do a full show about it. Thomas O'Ward says, definitely not like the scene in The Prestige about the bullet catch trick, where a button makes its way into the barrel ahead of a blank powder charge. Yeah, that was a great movie, The Prestige. Very weird movie. Very, I don't know, there's something bizarre about this movie. It makes you feel bad. It's weird. It's a weird movie. I would have to rewatch it, but I remember a feeling of discomfort. It's like it's a bizarre world that they present. Silver Spider says, Jeff, he wasn't the producer. I would say, if he wasn't the producer, I would say he wasn't responsible. I mean, it depends on what would come out in a trial. It would be a good defense for him if he says, no, I've been instructed to act that way, and I thought it was the standard, and that's how we've always been doing it. So if he can say that kind of thing, he probably would get away with it. But I think that the standards should change in this industry, because I don't... How can you make an exception to this pillar of a rule of gun safety that it is, that every time you handle the gun, it's your responsibility? If you allow a loophole to this rule, you allow accidents to eventually happen. And that's what happened. Thank you.